Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Well, if you think I'm shifting my loyalties from Charles Manson to Paul McCartney, I'm not.
Bjorn Lurpus of the Pawnee Lurpus family. There was supposed to be a paunch burger in this lot next to my house, and then you stripped my freedom by putting a park there. Now if I want to start my day off with a triple-decker pancake breakfast pizza, I got to go to the one that's 10 minutes away, and that makes me 20 minutes late to work every day. I work at home.
Have you ever considered not eating that for breakfast?
I'll never consider that.
And now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's, Yep, uh-huh. Check, 1, 2.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 20th of March.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's happening?
Where were you yesterday,
well,
bud?
Yesterday, here's the thing. I was in Ireland for St. Patrick's Day.
Like you do.
And it was snowing quite hard.
Yeah.
And on and off all day.
Yeah, you posted a picture that looked like you were photoshopped in.
I know.
I'm like, Kevin is
insane.
In the valley right now.
I'm wearing a beanie and my heavy coat.
Yeah.
And everything. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It probably was in the 20s at that point.
Oh, my.
When I took that picture. And the problem with St. Patrick's Day is that all of the bars are pretty packed because usually they're all spilled out into the street and everybody's
sure.
having a good time and talking. Now nobody wants to be out in the street because it's 20 degrees and it's snowing and it sucks. So everybody's trying to get inside and it's just a massive crush.
Yeah.
So I was supposed to take a late flight that night and then catch a connecting flight to come back home.
Mm-hmm.
This was Saturday night.
Yeah.
That flight was canceled.
Sure.
So they rebooked me on Sunday, and I thought, okay, I still have time. I'll leave 10 a.m. I'll get to London at 1. I'll catch my flight at 3:30. All good.
Yeah.
No problem. Get there. My flight's delayed on Sunday. Snow.
Oh.
Too much snow.
Yeah.
So they sent up a pilot, and I don't know if this is how they normally do things, but they sent up a pilot to land and see if it was safe.
That doesn't sound like the best idea.
Right? For that poor sucker.
Yeah, right?
I don't know what they put on the runway or how they keep snow clear of it or what they're...
Yeah.
But they said as soon as, you know, we hear back from the guy, if it's safe to land, we'll let you know.
And if they don't hear back,
right.
you know it's not.
It's not going to be. So it was. And
okay.
So they put us on the plane.
That had to feel good.
Fantastic. On the plane. So now we're on the plane and we taxi out and they say, we have to wait for the de-icing machine
yeah.
to come and they have to spray the stuff on the wings.
Mm-hmm.
And this was about every 10 minutes for 3 hours.
Oh, God.
Sitting on the plane in Ireland, in Dublin,
yeah.
waiting to go to London. This was the guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're waiting for the de-icing machine. It'll be here in 10 minutes. We're told it'll be here in 10 minutes.
I'm like, okay, good. 10 minutes,
yeah.
no problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, the icing machine hasn't shown up yet. They're telling us in the next 20 minutes now, next 20 minutes. So just sit back, relax, and we'll be on our way.
25 minutes go by.
Listen, people, I know this is frustrating, but... we don't know where the de-icing machine is.
We lost it.
They're probably working on other planes, and we're in line, so don't mm-hmm. worry about it. As soon as they get to us, we'll be on our way.
Yeah.
Sit back and relax and enjoy your flight.
That happens about 5 more times.
Yeah.
Then about an hour and a half later.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you see off the left of the plane, you can see the de-icing machine. It doesn't seem to be doing much.
Oh, no.
But as soon as he starts, you know, de-icing the wings, you'll be on your way. So just sit back and relax, and we're just about to go.
That machine just sits there and nothing happens.
It was probably frozen.
You're not going to believe this.
That's how we started.
You're not going to believe this, but the de-icing machine is broken.
Oh, no.
And we're going to have to get a new one, and it's going to have to be brought in, and it's going to be a while.
Oh, dear.
So just sit back, and we'll give you an update as soon as we can.
3.5 hours later.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, look, we got a brand new de-icing machine. Check it out. They're putting on the de-icing material now, and you'll be on your way in just a few minutes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight.
I don't believe that guy.
So I have a 3.5 hour layover in London to catch my flight here.
Oh, uh-uh.
And uh-uh is right. So they finally let us take off, and I landed in London, and they said, oh, your flight's gone.
Yeah, by hours.
Yeah. So you're just, here's a voucher for a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I called my travel agent. I was like, is there anything later tonight? I mean, is this it?
Yeah.
It was only like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's got to be other flights.
You'd think, yeah.
No. Oh. So get in this line, 250 people long, and they'll give you a voucher to spend the night in a hotel and get some free meals, and then we'll rebook you in the morning,
mm-hmm.
which was yesterday morning.
Okay.
So then yesterday morning, I finally did the 3:30 to 5:30 flight or whatever it was and got back to Los Angeles last
night. It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah.
And to come down from, you know, St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
In Ireland.
All excited.
To that.
Right.
Wah, wah.
I was happy it was canceled the first night because that meant I could go back out.
Sure. Yeah.
On St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
But the next day, it just sucked.
Yeah, not good.
It was not good. Yes, Chip?
If it makes you feel better, I got back a day early.
Thanks, that helps. That helps a lot. So anyway, got back yesterday and back here today, and we're going to do an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. And here's what's happening on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Mark Hoppus from Blink-182.
What?
They have a Las Vegas residency, which is great news for those of us that love Blink.
Yeah.
They're going to be there on a semi-regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. We have the April Fool's opening act contest going on. We're going to give you some more submissions for that. How's it been going?
Haven't heard one.
Haven't heard one?
Mm-mm.
All right.
So it'll be new to all of us.
You're
going to
hear one today.
Excellent.
That's great news. Comedian Bill Burr will be on the program today.
Excellent.
One of the funniest people we know. We've got your April Fool's tickets in the 6 o'clock hour. And the way we're going to do it is blank cross the road. Why did the blank cross the road? Those types of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come up with those types of jokes, just after 6:15, in about a half hour, we're going to give you a chance to call in, and we'll pick the best one, or we'll put everybody in a drawing, and we'll give you tickets to the sold-out April Foolishness. We have great news, because we were supposed to do it yesterday, and it didn't so much happen. And we have Talinda Bennington on the program today.
Excellent.
Very excited about that. She, of course, is Chester Bennington's widow, and she has all kinds of stuff planned with her 320 change program, and she's going to come in and tell us all about that. It's 7 o'clock here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with Showbiz next.
It's Kevin and Bean!
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Time for What's Happening with Allie.
While you were gone, I kept doing the lottery updates.
Yes.
No one was winning.
Right.
Finally, somebody won, I believe it was on Saturday, the Powerball. And one of the winners, I believe it was $1 million, out of Santa Monica.
No kidding.
Yes. But wow. That was only 1 million out of like the 470 million. But still, there was no winner in Friday night's Mega Millions. So tonight's value, $377 million. That's $225 million cash value. There is still time, Kevin.
Nope, there's no time, everyone. I already bought the winning ticket.
Oh, okay.
So don't waste your $2.
Okay, got it.
Tip.
Got it. The cast of Stranger Things scored some serious pay raises ahead of their season 3 premiere. According to sources, it's divided up into different pay tiers. So the adults, Winona Ryder and David Harbour, so that's Joyce and Hopper, they're going to make up the A tier. So they went up to $350,000 an episode.
Wow.
Then the B tier consists of the young stars like Mike and Dustin and Lucas and Will. They were bumped up to $250,000 an episode. Not bad.
Wow.
And then the C tier, those are the teens like Nancy and Jonathan, and would have been Barb if she lived. But they got bumped up to $150,000 an episode. However, it still remains a mystery where young Eleven fits into this. She was not included in this breakdown that leaked out. So a lot of people are assuming young Eleven got bumped up to the highest tier along with...
I'm just saying. Maybe.
Why would you say that?
Because maybe.
But no.
But maybe.
Maybe.
Know. I have no information.
You do not.
Right.
But season three is scheduled to begin on April 23rd with a lot more money in their pockets. So, I mean, when you got it, it's like the biggest hit on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
You got to pay those people.
Agreed. I'm happy to see that. Good for
them. Yeah. $350,000 an episode.
Although, wouldn't it suck to be the C level?
The teens are like,
I wonder what it was like to be you.
This sucks. But if I'm getting $150,000 an episode and I'm a teenager, then let's be honest, if I'm a 30-year-old, if I'm a 40-year-old, if I'm a 50-year-old, if I'm 87,
yeah.
I'm pretty good with that. A lot of tours announced, and we're going to talk about them coming up. If you're a fan of, you know, Blink-182, Liam Gallagher, Godsmack and Shinedown. You heard me. I'm going to have that coming up in just a bit. But first, some birthdays for you. Actress Ruby Rose, actress Holly Hunter, and director Spike Lee. Happy birthday. That's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
So I went on vacation, and I was lucky enough to be able to be in Ireland. This is the second time I've gone there for St. Patrick's Day because it's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of those things where we celebrate like crazy in the States, and then you go there and they don't care.
Right.
It's all about St. Paddy's Day there. And they have a parade during the day, and then at night you go to this bar area called Temple Bar District, and there's like bar after bar after bar after bar, and you just wander from one to another, and it's awesome. During the day, the parade is a family event. All the kids come out, parents bring, you know, all their children, and they make sure that they have a good place to see the parade from. And our hotel was pretty near the end of the parade, St. Paddy's Day Parade. But who was the Grand Marshal? Mark Hamill.
No.
Was the Grand Marshal.
Luke Skywalker?
Yes. Because they filmed that scene where he, at the end of the last one, at the beginning of this one, where he was training Rey on an island just off Ireland.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
So he says, you know, he fell in love with Ireland and blah, blah, blah. So he was the Grand Marshal of the parade.
Wow.
Mark Hamill. How often do you get to see Mark Hamill?
Never.
Right. So it was about 12 degrees.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And snowing lightly.
Sure.
And the parade started about a mile and a half away.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, hey, we got some good, we got a good view here. We're close to our hotel in case we get too cold.
Yeah.
So let's just hang out here. So we sat there and we waited, we waited, we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And nothing. Just nothing. There was no sign of a parade whatsoever. There
really?
Were people lining up, but clearly it was moving quite slowly.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know cold because you have lived part of your life in Boston, correct?
In Boston, yeah. Park City, New York, Utah.
It's fine.
Park City's in Utah.
Sure.
Just naming places now.
It's fine for a while, cold.
Yeah.
You know, for the first hour or so, you go, it's cold, but I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then about an hour and a half in, you go, this is sort of starting to hurt.
Yeah. Like, and I'm sure you didn't quite pack for the cold you were experiencing.
I sort of did. As I did a little research.
Impressive.
I had gloves. I had a beanie. I
had
a super heavy jacket. I
had boots. Excellent.
And I was ready. But after about an hour and a half of still seeing no parade.
Yeah.
It was starting to get cold. My fingers were starting to hurt. My toes were starting to hurt. And we, you know, we considered leaving. We were like, no, it's St. Patrick's Day. We're in Dublin. Why would, it's the parade. We have to wait. Plus Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker.
Sure.
How often do you get to see him?
Never.
We said that probably 15 times. So at about an hour 50, the parade starts. We can see in the distance the parade is coming our way.
Okay.
About an hour 50 into it. And I don't know if you like parades or not. I'm not a fan of the parade.
Yeah, it's just a lot of slow walking, some waving.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a lot of bands, a lot of marching bands, which I'm not trying to insult anybody that's in the marching band because what you do is amazing. It's the worst form of music.
Oh.
It's not like you're ever, it's not like you're ever going to say, you know what song I'm in the mood for? And then you go find a marching band version of it. That just doesn't exist.
Wow.
Because it's the worst kind of music.
That's Kevin.
I'm just saying that you don't feel that way. Do you look up a song done by a marching band ever?
Yes. The song For Boston, which is my school's fight song. Great, done by a marching band. Great, done by Dropkick Murphys.
Mm-hmm.
Having a marching band with the Dropkick Murphys, even better.
Way better, right?
Yeah.
Marching band on their own?
Not as great.
Not as great.
Okay.
So marching band starts coming up, and now it's about 2 hours. And I feel so bad for these people because they're not dressed for the cold.
Oh.
I mean, they've got some nod to the cold, but they have to wear their uniforms.
Right.
I was going to say outfits. Their uniforms. There were a lot of them from colleges in the United States that had sent marching bands over there.
Oh, no.
So they were decent.
Yeah.
You see a poor guy on the trumpet and his lips are blue.
Yeah. Like, and his fingers. He can't wear gloves because he's got that's awful.
They're miserable. At one point, I did see a girl, one of those twirlers.
Batons?
Batons, mm-hmm. Thank you. She was so cold that she was crying a little bit.
Oh, no.
A little bit. But had to smile and keep going.
Oh,
so she had that
sweetie.
sort of tears coming out of her eyes, but with a fake clown smile.
Oh, yeah.
Because she had to keep smiling.
Oh, sad.
And I just felt like yelling, you're almost there. You're almost there. We're at the end of the route, so you're almost there. You're going to be warm in a minute. And then, you know, another marching band walked by, and then some bizarre float with a bug on it walked by. I don't understand half of what happened there. But it got to be about the 2.5 hour mark.
Oh, my
God. And now,
God.
I'm freezing.
Yeah, like, you're done.
I'm going to have to start cutting off fingers at some point because this is just, I'm way too cold.
Right. That's what you do when you're cold.
Yep. You cut off fingers.
Yep.
You get them amputated because they get cold.
Uh-huh.
Because they get so cold they die.
Uh-huh.
You know that process.
I do.
And then what they have to do is they have to amputate
it. Would you say that process has a name?
Yeah, it does. But uh-huh. That's not important about. That's not important.
Would it be frostbite?
Thank you.
Okay.
Frostbite. So I'm positive that 4 of my fingers have frostbite, and
okay.
I'm going to have to get them amputated. But Mark Hamill.
Right. How often do you see Mark Hamill?
Right. He's going to be there. It's going to be cool. It's going to be something, you know, I can tell people about that I got to see Mark Hamill. This
mm-hmm.
is awesome.
Yeah.
So the parade goes by for another half hour, and I think I'm just going to die and just get it over with. Speed up. Everybody with the floats and the parades, I mean, and the bands and everything, just speed up.
Yeah, we got it.
Right. You've been doing it long enough. You're all freezing. We're all freezing. I feel like if one person had stood up at that moment and said, everybody's released, they just would have run for the buildings around there, including the people in the parade.
Sure.
So 2 hours and 50 minutes in.
Oh, my God.
Frostbite.
Yep.
Pretty much both legs.
Right.
Head. I'm going to have to cut off my head
amputated.
Oh, no.
Yes, not your head.
It's ugly. But Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
How often do you get to see Mark Hamill?
I've said it for years.
So the last band goes by, and then we wait, and we wait, because Mark Hamill.
Mm-hmm.
And the car that says Grand Marshal on the front of it.
Right.
Speeds by.
No.
Some old dude in it. No Mark Hamill. None.
He got out hours ago.
He wasn't even in the Grand Marshal car.
No.
Just some old dude. And it was going like everybody else was marching really, really slowly. And it flew by just maybe in the hopes that we thought that was Mark Hamill. I don't know.
No.
But Mark Hamill was not in that car.
I don't like this at all.
So after 3 hours of standing in the cold, no Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, forget it. Let's just go back to our hotel. We go back to our hotel. I get into the elevator. And Mark Hamill gets in the elevator.
No, sir.
So now it's me.
Uh-huh.
And it's Mark Hamill.
Yes.
Only.
Yes.
No, no one else. Now, what do I say to him?
You're great.
But I was at that point semi-pissed because Mark Hamill, for 3 hours, that's the only reason I stayed. He wasn't there. So I was semi-pissed.
Yeah.
So the first thing that came to my mind was, sure, could have used the force to stay warm.
Nope.
I was something.
No,
it was,
you
I wasn't.
Didn't.
I wasn't. I said that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Okay.
So then I thought, there's no way you're saying anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't even reference it.
No.
If you're going to say mm-hmm. anything, just, well, what should you say to Mark Hamill in that instance? It's just you two. Not you two, the band, but I mean, it's just me and Mark.
Adam Clayton, sir.
Right.
Wow.
So now I'm going through the Rolodex in my head of, should I just say I enjoy your work?
Right.
Should I just say I love the last, you know, Star Wars, The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
What compliment. What can I say? And at that point, the elevator has stopped. And he said, is this your floor? And I said, yeah.
And he just got off and walked away.
Oh, heaven. No.
Cat dog,
eat
dog. Cat dog.
That's it?
That's it. I was doing all that thinking.
Oh, my God.
I was doing all that thinking, and it's possible that my mind was moving a little slowly because of cold, of course.
Frostbite, sure.
Right. And so I was just mulling over all of the options, and the elevator had stopped on my floor, and I didn't realize it. So now we're both standing there, and he's in there, and I'm in there, and he's like, well, I didn't press this floor, he's thinking.
Right.
So maybe I better say something. Is this your floor? And I said, yeah, thanks. And I just walked. So I didn't really say anything to Mark Hamill, which is probably best.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
It is sold out. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness featuring Gabriel Iglesias, Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana, and Mike Realm. But we're going to give away some tickets right now for your jokes, Why They Cross the Road.
Come on now and tell us why that thing is crossing the road.
Why?
Make us laugh so freaking hard we want to freaking explode. Kevin and Bean's Foolishness is so sold out. If you win these tickets, then you will scream and shout. Why they cross the road, we really want to know. Come on, be funny, win tickets to the show. Why they cross the road, yeah, we want to know. Now it's time to tell your joke, don't be a lame-o.
That Omar has taken up short songs rather than intros. All right, listen. Listen. These are going to suck, right?
I can't imagine they're going to be great.
Have you ever heard of one that just killed you?
Never.
Okay, so if we can't pick a clear favorite, we'll put you all into a drawing and everybody will have an equal shot at winning the tickets. Let's start with George and Downey. Hi, George.
Hey, how's it going, party people?
Good, thank you. Why did they cross the road?
Okay, why did Kevin cross the road?
Why?
Because he was stuck on the chicken.
Oh, geez.
Why they cross the road? Why they cross the road?
All right. You hold on.
Wow.
All right. Nick in Whittier, good morning.
Morning, party people.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Why did they cross the road?
Why did the man with one hand cross the road?
Why?
To get to the secondhand store.
I mean,
why they cross the road? Why they cross the road?
I mean, better than the first one, just barely. Let's go to James in Riverside. Hi, James.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Giving away tickets for the sold-out April Foolishness. Why did they cross the road?
All right, why did Jim Morrison cross the road?
Why?
To break on through to the other side.
God, I can't.
I don't hate it, but I'll tell you why. Delivery.
For sure.
The delivery was pretty good.
All right.
All right. Let's go to Henry in Hawthorne. Hi, Henry.
Hi, how you doing?
We are doing well. We're doing why'd they cross the road jokes. What do you got?
All right. So I'm going to change it up.
Okay.
Why did the skeleton cross the road?
Why did the skeleton cross the road? Why?
Because he didn't have the guts.
Say again.
Because he didn't have the guts.
So he crossed the road because
he
didn't have guts.
I think he said he was changing it up. So the beginning of it is, why didn't the skeleton cross the road?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he didn't have the guts.
I didn't hear the first part.
Why they cross the road? Why they cross the road?
I just made it worse. Oh, God.
As if that was possible. Anthony in La Mirada, hi.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good
What'd
morning.
You do?
Why did they cross the road?
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
To avoid lame and outdated jokes.
Oh, Anthony, I see what you did. Mm.
Why they cross the road? Why they cross the road?
I see what you did, too, but I hope you don't win. All right. Let's go to Eric in Torrance. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good morning, K-Rock crew.
Good morning. Giving away tickets for sold-out April Foolishness. Why did they cross the road?
Well, this one's actually, why didn't the monkey cross the road?
Right. Why didn't the monkey cross the road? Why?
Because he knew he was going to get spanked.
Why they cross the road? Why they cross the road?
I like that it made him laugh.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Alfred in Azusa. Hi, Alfred. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. A duck walks up, gets to the road. He looks left. He looks right. He looks left again. Chicken pops out and says, I wouldn't do that if I were you. You'll never hear the end of it. Why they cross the
road? Why they cross the road? Don't hate that one.
All right.
You don't like it?
I just...
I mean, don't... They're all on a scale of 0 to 5, on a scale of 0 to 10. So they're all below 5 so far, for me.
Okay.
For me, but maybe Samantha can bring it. Samantha? Why did they cross the road?
Why didn't the toilet paper cross the road?
Why didn't the toilet paper? Why?
It got stuck in the crack.
So, I'm guessing we're doing a drawing?
Unless you have a clear winner.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I feel like they were all relatively poor.
Well, this might have been the poorest.
Uh-oh.
Congratulations, George.
George. George, congratulations.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, George, what was your joke again?
It was because Kevin was stuck on the chicken.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
He won.
You won.
Congratulations.
I had another one, too.
Oh, that's okay,
yeah,
George.
Thank you, though. Why they cross the road? Why they cross
the road? The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Right now, it's time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
We always talk about how depressing the news is. Anytime you watch the news, it's just negative, 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 negative. If you think about politics, it's negative, negative. And we just like to bring stories that might show some inspiration, perhaps. Yeah. Make you feel a little bit better about the human condition. Mine is Samuel Bennett. He started drinking when he was 12 years old.
Oh.
Party. I don't think that's the point, Dave.
Oh.
That's not the great news.
Oh, no.
Cool. He says, alcohol became my best friend. It turned all the sadness and hurt I had into massive amounts of anger. It made me feel confident and powerful. Samuel Bennett spent his 18th birthday in rehab and then year after year going to different treatment centers. Different treatment centers throughout the years.
Wow.
He was 31 years old and homeless at the point he decided to develop a new phone app called Meet for a Coffee. And basically, it's a free app. It will allow a person to connect with others in recovery anywhere in the world, as well as access services such as a drug treatment center, mental health teams, and support groups. There's a My Circle feature that will allow those on the app to log in clean days and share messages of encouragement.
Wow.
He says nobody can do recovery on their own. You can't just wake up one morning in life of drinking and drugs in prison and say, I'm not going to bother with this anymore. It just doesn't happen that way. It takes a lot of different people. He crowdfunded to raise funds to make Meet for a Coffee a reality. Here's the thing. When he came up with the idea, he had no technical background. He had little formal education due to his alcoholism and... He said it was a very, very steep learning curve. I was homeless when I started this. He found a napkin, and he wrote down on it, here's what needs to happen.
Wow.
And I don't even know if it exists or doesn't exist, but people need to be able to get in touch with other sober human beings, even if you're not in your hometown or whatever.
It makes perfect sense, because if you're traveling and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, I feel weak. I don't know what to do. Your sponsor isn't around.
Exactly.
To connect with someone wherever you are, that's amazing.
Someone or meetings or any kind of thing, or even just to go see an inspirational note or something like that. He said he got to the point where he had just had enough. I was either going to drink myself to death or I was going to try and change the world in some way, and that's what I chose.
Jeez.
So that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's my great news.
I like it.
Right on.
Dave, King of Mexico, what do you got?
Yeah. All right, to Wisconsin we go, where Alan Clemens was working on his Mustang when the car fell off the jack and landed on him.
Oh no.
So he's having a hard time breathing. He's there for about an hour and a half. He starts talking to God and saying, God, please send me an angel. You know, I'm here. I'm losing my breath. I need help. Along comes 9-year-old Malachi.
You are not going to tell me that 9-year-old Malachi lifted that car.
9-year-old Malachi has got training from his uncle on how to use a jack.
Oh.
Uses the jack system to lift up the car and go get help. And now Alan Clemens is free.
How about that?
And, you know, he has 6 broken ribs and a fractured pelvis.
Oh, my God.
And he said he couldn't have lasted another 15 minutes if it wasn't for this freaking 9-year-old kid who knew how to use a jack. How long did it take you to learn how to use a jack?
I'll let you know. Imagine him, though. Like, he's praying. He's saying, God, please send me an angel. And then a 9-year-old shows up. He's like, come on! A 9-year-old?
Yeah, a 9-year-old. This guy couldn't even set his jack right so that it fell off on him.
Wow.
And a 9-year-old Malachi in Wisconsin helped him. Now he's in full recovery, and he's going to go visit him in the hospital soon. And that's my great news.
Do you think his name is Malachi?
No, I'm going to go with Malachi.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
whole time I'm like, Malachi, huh?
Yeah.
In Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go with Malachi.
Okay.
I'll go with Malachi. Right. It's a better name.
I like it. I like it. This is a story about a woman named Amanda Needham. She's in Brooklyn, and her bike is stolen from right in front of her house.
Aww.
Ton of bikes stolen in the neighborhood. She was PO'd. So she puts up a sign. And it says, to the person who stole my bicycle, I hope you needed it more than I do. It was $200 used, and I needed it to go to work. I can't afford another one. Next time, steal a hipster's Peugeot. Or don't steal. P.S. Bring it back. She's pissed, right? She is not happy. So a few days after hanging the sign, 2 young men knock on her door, and they had a blue teenager-sized mountain bike and said, listen, one of our bikes was stolen too. If you want to use this one, feel free. And she's like, well, that is so nice. A day later, an older woman shows up at the door and says, I made my husband turn around the car so I could read the sign again. I just want to know what kind of bike you need. And she says, listen, I am using a bike sharing service. It's $15 a month, but thank you so much. And she started seeing, wow, these are really kind neighbors that I never would have met that are just coming by. A little while later, an art dealer shows up at the door and says, is that your sign? I passed by it on my way to the studio, took a picture, and so many people were commenting on it. I'd like to buy it from you for $200. Just this janky sign because so many people responded to it.
Wow.
And she's like, wow, this is incredible. So true to his word, he bought it for $200. But the Instagram post of the sign caused this global stir. And people started talking about how she could pay it forward with the sign. So what she did is she went to a local bike repair shop and brought the teenage-sized mountain bike that she was given and said, can you just jazz this up, really fix it up? And then we're going to give this to a new home. And she opened it up to any Brooklyn resident who wanted to be the proud owner of that new hashtag karma cycle. All they had to do was post what they have done, a good deed, story of an act of kindness that they had recently performed for a chance to win the renovated bike. So it just got people talking about the good things that they have done, just good deeds that seem so small, but it's a really good way of paying it forward. So it just opened up people's hearts, which is pretty lovely.
Do you think Malachi entered into this contest?
Malachi was not there. I believe he stole the bike.
He probably did.
He's got a very dark heart.
Get right over to help save the guy, right?
Absolutely. And that's my great news.
The Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K-Rock. Radio.com. Radio.com.
Dave, the King of Mexico, is the Kevin and Bean janky van still a thing?
You know, the janky van was out of commission for a week.
Oh,
why? What
no.
happened to it?
Because it's janky.
You're right.
Yeah. But
is it back?
It's back.
Okay.
And
good.
We're going to send out Beer Mug this week out in the town. We're going to let them loose with the K&B janky van.
All right. What about the billboard? Do we still have a billboard?
I think it's still there. It's
you
blocked
think
by
it's
trees.
Still up.
It's blocked by trees, but, you know, it's handling the rain pretty good, so.
All
hasn't fallen off yet.
Okay.
No one has tagged it, which I'm a little disappointed by. So if you're on West Martin Luther King Boulevard in between Hooves and Figueroa.
It's Hoover.
I heard a man say Hooves.
That guy's an idiot.
Yeah. So check it out. Go snap a picture with it. Hashtag KB Billboard.
All right. It's time for an update on March Fatness.
Fat.
Super fat.
Dave is fat.
Beer mug's fat.
Dave and beer mug are fat. They want to be less fat. So fat. March fatness.
That's less
Dave
fat.
Dave and Beer Mug are super fat, and they want to be less fat, so they're going to do that. Follow along. Or don't.
Or don't. Let's go to your trainer, Psycho Mike, on the phone. Hey, Mike.
Hello. Hey-o.
How did the boys do over the week? Well, let's reset. What did you guys each weigh at the beginning of this March fatness?
Dave? I think I was 248.
Okay.
And I was 219.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Mike, what have you done with them in the last week, and how did this weekend go?
Well, we went and we trained last week, and I have to admit that they trained really hard. I mean, it wasn't for a long period of time because they're wildly out of shape. But they gave it like a good, solid effort, and I was really impressed by that.
So you feel like each of them really gave it their all in that moment?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. I mean, I think they really did. They showed up with a good mindset and they trained hard.
Okay. Dave, Muggs, how do you guys feel it went?
So far, I think I've been doing good until this weekend.
Oh, no.
Mike, did you see either of them this weekend?
No, but okay. I just had to assume that St. Patrick's Day falling on a weekend was going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
Well, let's ask the guys. So, right. Dave, St. Patrick's Day weekend.
St. Patrick's Day had nothing to do with it for me. Okay. It was my girlfriend's birthday. Mm-hmm. She had a taco, man. I tried to drink vodka and soda like Mike suggested. You know, I had a couple drinks, but then the tequila started flowing. And that, you know, you start taking shots and everything goes out the window.
Yes.
So I didn't eat anything that night. But the next morning, when I was hungover,
I
enjoyed me some Jack in the Box.
That's where they get you.
That's where it got me.
Yeah,
and I felt so bad and terrible. And I might have had one mozzarella stick and candy.
Well, you've been doing really good on the food aspect. Yes. You've been doing a lot of lean protein, veggies. So this was probably a shock to your system.
Maybe it was my cheat meal. Does that count in a month?
I mean, getting a cheat meal? I think you have to plan it, don't you, Mike? Don't you have to plan that ahead of time?
Yeah, and I would think, I would imagine if you're in an overall weight loss competition that only lasts 30 days, there wouldn't be any cheat meals. You
know? All right, Muggs, how did you do?
What Dave just explained about his weekend, my weekend makes Dave's weekend look like a Weight Watchers diet plan.
Oh, no.
Okay?
What did you
I
do?
Have written down everything I consume starting on Saturday.
Well, we don't have the time, dude.
Here we go. I'm going to read them down real quick because okay. I remember. I started with a nice Guinness because it's St. Patrick's Day, followed by two Moscow Mules, some ahi tuna nachos, two tacos, which I took the tortilla off of, made them low carb, a bag of peanuts at the Kings game, followed by a bacon-wrapped hot dog, two large Bud Lights. Then I decided, I better start, you know, maybe kind of lightening up on the calorie load. Mm-hmm. So I did have two vodka sodas.
Wait, this is all Saturday?
This is all Saturday.
Okay. Holy crap.
Right? I thought it was the whole weekend.
Me too. Oh,
this is just Saturday, followed by an incredible amount of Bailey's Irish Cream and Jameson shots, otherwise known as car bombs, but not they don't call them in Ireland, right, Kevin?
Right.
Sunday, I wake up for breakfast of ribs and barbecued beans, all sugar on the barbecue sauce, followed by tortilla chips and salsa. Finished off that Rocky Road pint of ice cream that had been sitting in my freezer just collecting frost. I had some sweet potato chips, a bag of sweet potato chips, not Lay's potato chips, so it was sort of healthy, right?
Sure, that was healthy.
Oh, my God.
Right. Then, right before bedtime, an hour before bedtime at 10 o'clock at night, I had the most massive albacore sushi roll with, like, spicy mayo and all the calories that you can put into sushi.
All right.
And then yesterday I had some granola bars.
Mike, how does that sound to you?
Oh, wow.
It sounds absolutely fantastic. I'm going to be wildly impressed. The funny thing to me is that it's a weight loss competition, and regardless of who wins, they're going to lose such little amounts of weight. Like, that's the funny thing to me. It's going to be like 3 pounds versus 2 pounds.
Mugs might actually gain weight. I mean, that's possible.
Yeah.
You know, I've been listening to Hit Me Baby One More Time
because
in preparation.
I'm
just going to have to learn it.
The loser does have to perform that at April Foolishness dressed as Britney Spears.
Yeah.
So looks like Dave might be the winner just by default because Muggs is actually gaining weight.
Yeah, you're like self-sabotaging.
Yeah, I might have gone off the deep end a little bit this weekend, but what about, there's 12 days left until April Foolishness. I plan to work out every day and go hard. So right. Maybe I'll just...
All right. So do you have some sessions set up with Mike?
Not as of now, but Dave and I might go to Runyon Canyon this week.
Together? You're going to hold hands and
yes.
skip?
Yeah.
We're supporting each other.
I'm going to carry Dave up the mountain.
Sure you are.
Yeah, I guess Muggs is sufficiently carb loaded at this
point. Yes, that's right, Mike.
That was his plan. All right, thank you guys for the update.
Yep.
Thank you.
Keep up the bad work.
Still fine.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
Legendary comedian Bill Burr is on the phone. Hi, Bill. Hello, Bill. Hello.
Stop text.
Oh, there you go. Sorry.
Hello. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
How good Lord, I had already launched into my little shtick there.
Oh, no.
You want to start over? Let's start over. Right now, Bill Burr is here. Hi, Bill.
Hey, I'll tell you, that Bill Clinton is wacky, isn't he? How are you?
We are good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing this little radio tour here, and I'm on daddy duty here.
Daddy duty at the same time.
And I drank one Bud Tall before bed last night. I feel like I drank a 12-pack. I'm so old. Pathetic.
Isn't that pathetic?
I used to be able to drink like 15 beers, go to McDonald's, 4 hours sleep. I could wake up and go unload trucks, and it was nothing.
Bill, do you remember what age that this started happening? Because for me, it was 32. I was just done. If I had one beer or eight beers, it was the same effect the next day.
I understand that. Mine was about 45, but that's only because I continued to drink. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know how Jordan was amazing and then he retired for a few years and then he came back?
Right.
Right.
And then, you can't do that.
Okay.
You got to just stay there like somebody like Vince Carter. I drank the way Vince Carter keeps playing basketball.
Yeah, he is like 70, right?
He's still in the league.
He is.
Every time I think he's gone, I'll just be watching, you know, some random team. I'm like, is that Vince Carter? And then he dunks on somebody. Incredible.
Bill, I got to tell you, I love your stand-up comedy because it seems like you will make a statement that makes everyone mad, and then you argue with them for a while, and then you win them over to your side. And I love that kind of comedy.
That's right. That's right, because I'm the genius and everybody else is stupid. Question. Of course, I like how there was this long pause, like, wait, is this guy serious?
Well, we didn't know.
No, I agree. I haven't taken that ego trip yet. I plan on doing it. Next time when I show up and I'm wearing a fur with no shirt on, next time I do your show, then you'll know. This guy has finally bought into whatever the hell it is that people are saying.
Bill, can you...
Right, scrambled eggs are done. I got a little bit of fruit. Excellent. Part of the complete breakfast.
Bill Burr, how are you as a Mr. Mom? How are you as a parent?
Well, I think I'm great, but my wife is yet to tell me that, so you never know. But sometimes, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't think I'm great.
Uh-huh.
Like, they do this thing where, you know, they don't compliment you when you marry them. You think it's because they don't love you anymore, but it's actually because they do. And they're afraid if you feel good about yourself, you're going to attract another female. So they have to, like, ration out the compliments.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. Bill, you mentioned something on Conan recently, and I felt so vindicated because the great Bill Burr agrees with my whacked-out conspiracy theory that Alexa, the Roomba, everything in your house is spying on you. What the hell are we doing?
You know what? Guess what we're doing? We're going to give away all of our freedom and our privacy just for the appearance of convenience.
What do you mean, the appearance?
I don't find any of it. Because you're going to spend half your life, whatever you have, on the phone or on the web with some damn technician trying to figure out how to get your convenient thing to work again.
It's true.
So you never bought into any of that stuff.
Dude, I'm going to tell you something right now. I love analog. Analog is where it's at. You know what I love? I love a pen and a piece of paper.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to. There's no way for it to crash. I don't lose it. I don't have to save it and all that. It's just there.
Are you one of those guys?
It works.
Are you one of those guys with an amazing memory that you can remember all of your bits and the way they go? Do you write them all out longhand, or do you have them on computer?
I actually don't write them down. You and it's not because I have an amazing memory. It's because I'm extremely lazy.
You don't think
I'm not going to sit down and write funny things. I'll remember it. No, there's a lot of jokes that I end up forgetting. But as the great Tony B taught me, when you forget the jokes, that means it's time to stop doing them.
That's a good point.
I like it.
That makes sense.
I thought it had a nice little swagger to it. Made you feel like you had faith in your comedic abilities. Because I figured when I was in high school, I'd go to the cafeteria and I'd make my friends laugh during lunch, and I didn't write everything down and then come back and, you know, go to another high school the next day and make those kids laugh.
Right.
Every day I came in, I had new stuff.
So this is your way of feeling good about yourself, even though you're lazy.
Yeah, okay. That's right. And I barely get any compliments. Yes, that's exactly it. Even though my wife knows I'm incredibly insecure.
Tell us about playing the Forum. You are playing the Forum on Friday, September 28th at 8 p.m. Tell me about a venue that size and a place like the Forum for you.
Well, they actually built a little comedy club in the lobby, so I only have like 40 tickets to sell. So it's not that bad. Actually, I'll be honest with you. Dane Cook was the one who taught me how to do those places. I opened for him one time at Madison Square Garden, and he was doing it in the round. So he sold, you know, even more tickets than a lot of bands do that set up a stage, you know, where, like a third of the stadium is gone. So I was like, dude, we were doing like sound check. I go, how do I handle it? And he goes, it's easy, man. He goes, it's just like four theaters. And you just play each one, play a little bit to this one, a little one to that one. So it's not that bad. Sorry, my daughter's asking for eggs here.
You need some help with your daughter there? Are you good?
I'm hoping it's good. Is it too hot and sweet? Okay, good. No. Sometimes she makes a face, and I can't tell if she doesn't like it, or I put too much salt, or it's still hot.
Yeah,
isn't
that
it incredible
that won't
how
change.
Eggs and cheese will hold heat?
Oh my God!
Whenever you see like those people freezing to death, they're always like curling up with their dogs. It's just like, dude, just make some eggs with cheese fall into the pot.
What's wrong with you? I've got to say, Bill, I've never been so excited in my life as hearing that you will be involved with Rough and Rowdy 3, because I'm a huge Barstool fan. Rough and Rowdy is a nightmare of a mess that I can't wait to watch again on pay-per-view.
Oh,
how did you get involved with this?
I just saw it, and the way I remember when I saw the Jersey Shore, remember that show? They showed that, and I saw that guy talking about his abs saying, you know, the women see it, it's going to be a situation. On my podcast, I said, I'm telling you right now, that show is going to be a juggernaut.
Yep.
I feel like this Rough and Rowdy is the same thing, and I complimented, and they asked me if I wanted to come in. I was just like, absolutely. For those of you who don't know what it is, it's like American Idol meets the UFC.
It's insane. It's just two dudes coming at each other with haymakers. It's nuts.
Are they singing?
They are not singing,
no,
Kevin.
You said American
like
Idol. They're singing and fighting, right?
I think he means amateurs.
No. Yeah, they're amateurs.
God damn.
The way, like, but this is the thing, though. American Idol, like Kelly Clarkson and a few people like that went on to win Grammys, came out of it. So what he is, but the fun is going to be people who don't know how to fight, but still have the courage to get in there, or they just so bad want to be on TV that they'll even take a pounding. It's great. I swear to God, every time I see somebody lose on that show, that always reminds me of me fighting my older brother for the first 15 years of my life.
Now, what's your role? Are you doing play-by-play for that?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
And I'm going to be making fun of the fighters, making fun of myself, just adding a little bit of comedy to it. Like there needs to be any more entertainment value to it.
I love it so
much. I think
much.
I'm just going there to get a good seat.
Right? I'm telling you, this Rough and Rowdy is going to be the ticket to get from here on out. It's a pay-per-view on April, what, 13th out of Charlotte?
April 13th. It's like $15.
It's awesome.
Wow.
Do I work for Barstool?
You're going to get your money's worth.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes with that other stuff, you know, you can have like a bad card or like, you know, especially with boxing, you know, it's like some guy ducks somebody else for like 30 years. Now they're both in their 60s and they're finally going to fight. Somebody actually has a broken hand and they didn't say it. They get disqualified. None of that stuff. This is just some guy from a Best Buy is going to fight a guy who works at a Buffalo Wild Wings. And there's not going to be one jab the whole fight.
So good.
That sounds like the best thing ever.
It is.
Bill Burr is playing.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Burr is playing the Forum again. It is Friday, September 28th at 8 p.m. We do have 5 pair of tickets to give away right now at 1-800-520-1067.
All right, 35 more to sell.
If you'd like to see Bill Burr, call now. He's a fantastic show. And tickets start at only $35 at Ticketmaster. So I think you're undercharging people, Bill, but it sounds like a great night at the Forum. And make your daughter
It actually sounded really expensive after I said how much Rough and Rowdy.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true.
I hope they don't have a fight the same night as my show. I'm going to be in trouble.
Well, good luck with your daughter and the eggs. And thanks for checking in with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We always appreciate it, Bill.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man.
See you.
Bye.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
We welcome to the studio Talinda Bennington.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are good. How are you today?
I am okay. I'm okay.
Today, how many times do you get asked that?
A lot. A lot. But I look at it because I'm loved, so it's good.
That makes you feel good because people are asking about it, at least?
Yes. Yeah. And I've learned to decipher a little better if people are really asking if I'm okay or if they kind of just don't really care and they're just trying to be polite. So
a lot of people say, are you okay, just to be polite, and then you just have to go, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, right. So it's an acquired skill.
But in your case, you know, most of our audience knew and knows and love your husband, and today is his birthday.
Tell
us what you're doing on his birthday.
It is. So today I am asking everybody out there to be part of the change. Be part of the change for mental health. I founded an organization, 320, 320 on behalf of Chester's birthday, partnered up with an existing nonprofit, Change Direction. We became 320 Changes Direction. And it's the mission is to change the culture of mental health. And that's many things. But it first starts with our attitudes, and it first starts with our awareness. And so today I'm asking that you take a selfie, hold up your hand showing five fingers, and that is saying that you know the five signs. And you can go to 320 changes direction or changedirection.org, and you'll see there the five signs. You can go to my Twitter account, at Talinda B. You'll find them there. Very simple. They're the five signs of emotional wellness and emotional stress too. So,
and those are personality change, agitation, withdrawal, and decline in personal care and hopelessness. So someone can be exhibiting one or all of those signs. So it's just knowing what to look for, right?
Yes, it's knowing what to look for, and then it's also five things that you can do to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. One thing I've learned, really, really have learned since my husband has passed, is that there is a big difference between mental health and mental illness.
Yeah.
We all have mental health, everybody. We all have physical health. We all have mental health. However, we don't all have mental illness, just as we all don't have a physical illness. And I believe if we can get one person to understand that because they're having a bad day or they may feel in the dumps, it's not shameful. It doesn't mean you're crazy. It doesn't mean anything. You could be having a bad day and that's it, because you have mental health. We all wake up sometimes and don't kind of feel good or, you know, but the decline of mental health can lead to mental illness, and mental illness, you know, is from genetics, environmental, I mean, so many things. I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be. I just know what I've learned, and I just wanted to spread that awareness.
I feel like a lot of times those signs of mental health or somebody's having problems, they're withdrawn. They seem to be having a bad time. They're losing hope. I sort of feel like the natural reaction is sort of to stay away.
Right.
And that's probably the opposite of what it should be.
Exactly. And that's why I fell in love with changedirection.org, because their whole idea is that we need to turn towards each other. We literally need to change direction of how we turn to each other rather than away. Because you're right.
It's uncomfortable. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to feel. They're having a hard time. So you just do the safest thing for you, and that's stay out of it. And that's probably not the best thing for them.
Right. Or, you know, on the flip side, You could be having a bad day and just want people to leave you alone, mm-hmm. right? But if you can identify you're having a bad day and know that it's that, that will help you to handle that, to cope with that, to not feel like a jerk because you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's important.
What's it been like for you to sort of become a spokesperson for a movement? I'm sure that was never the plan.
No.
You know?
No, you know what they say, God's idea of a joke is man's plan. So, no, it wasn't my plan. And, you know, I thought I was done. I thought that was it. I was married. I had my family, and I was just living life. I was just,
you knew your future.
Yeah, I was perfectly content.
Yeah.
And then when my husband passed, I felt this enormous responsibility to make his death mean something. He can't just be another rock star gone wrong, another rock star tragedy. And for my kids, especially when they look back, you know, and when they tell their children about their grandfather, about their dad, his life will speak for itself. I mean, his life will carry on, what his music, his philanthropy, his kids, because, you know, he has like a million of them. But, you know, I want them to as a mom, I want them to look back and know, you know, my dad's death meant something too, and it changed something for the better. And I believe that Chester was a victim of his time, you know, with where we're at with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as many people are. And so if I can be a small part of that catalyst of change, I'm going to do it. And he left me with a huge platform. His fans are so amazing. So amazing. And
talk about them for a minute, because it does seem like we have somebody on hold that's the ambassador in Romania because they can't hear exactly. So they wanted to hear on the phone. So we put him on hold. So tell me about the support that you get and the response that you get from those fans.
It's indescribable. It really is. After Chester died, I couldn't sleep. And so I'd be on Twitter and I started connecting with people. I also started realizing, like, wow, a lot of people are really sad. They're affected. They're starting to self-harm. But I knew I couldn't do anything to help them. I was emotionally incapable myself. But I did know that that I could just retweet what, you know, somebody in need and ask others to help. And that became a thing. That became people helping people, paying it forward. And now there's this huge Twitter community that helps. And there are stories, I mean, oh, I could tell you for days, stories of people that were hurting and that have turned around and changed to where they're happier, living a happier life. They've sought help. They've told their mom they were suicidal. One girl I believe she was in Iran. I was boarding a flight coming back from Hong Kong, and I saw her tweet, and she said she couldn't do it. She took the pills. And I saw she was a verified account. And so I went to her account really quick, and I saw she's a fashion blogger, and she has a lot of followers. The only thing I could do was retweet. I just had, you know, did the family, please help. And by the time I landed in California, they had found her.
Wow.
There's a whole line of tweets of how they did, but they found her site, they found they found her mom, who was a nurse, and then her mom went to the house and got her, and she's okay, and she's in recovery, and she's actively tweeting and part of the hashtag 320. And
that's a beautiful thing, because Twitter so often is just people piling on and being super negative, and it's a really negative place for a lot of people, and you're actually making it a positive place and using that kind of voice and fans that maybe you can't help that person, but fans can help that person.
Right.
Turning it into that kind of thing.
Yeah, and, you know, I love block. Blocking's great. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there definitely are some negative commenters. But, you know, that's that's on them. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really get to me too much because I focus on what I'm doing and the mission. And people are ready. People are ready for the change. Yeah.
I think what you said earlier is so important, that Chester was a victim of his time, because even when we were kids, people didn't talk about depression. They held everything in. And now I'm seeing more and more people that are like, you know what? Something's off. Something's wrong. Parents are now recognizing signs of their kids, when before it would just be like, oh, man up, buck up, you're fine, get out there.
Right.
And this conversation has opened. And it's a heartening thing to know that the next generations will be able to feel comfortable saying, you know what? I'm not well. I'm not happy. Let me figure this out.
Right.
And it's so important.
Right. Like, no shame. My son Tyler had asked me one night about 320 and, Mom, how'd you start it? And, and the analogy that I came up with him, and I said, you know, son, cars didn't always have seatbelts. It wasn't until 1968 that the federal law stated that we have to have seatbelts in cars. And I said, why do you think the car makers put seatbelts in the cars? He said, because they were told to. Well, right. Well, who fought for that? And he thought about it. And he said, well, there's the people that died. And I said, well, the people that died didn't fight for that because they're dead. Who do you think fought for that? And he looked at me and he got it. He said, their families. I said, right. And I said, right now, our bodies are just like cars, and our minds, our mental health, are the passengers riding in those cars without seatbelts. So it's time that we put our seatbelts on, and buckling them up is taking action, is doing something. And the call to action today that I'm asking is to learn the five signs of emotional health and well-being.
And then Thursday, you're going to be doing a 320 Change Twitter chat.
Yes,
right? At 11 a.m. You're going to be doing that for how long? For an hour?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I just kind of do what they tell me.
But if you'd like more information, you can go to changedirection.org. The hashtags to use are 320 changes direction, hashtag I am the change, and hashtag make Chester proud. Talinda, we are always excited to see you. Always to
thank you.
Happy to support your cause, because it's all of our causes as well.
Thank you. So. Thank you for your continued love and support. You guys are awesome. Chester loved all of you guys. He loved coming down here and doing anything with you guys. So thank you.
Thanks, Talinda. We appreciate it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Sally McKay is here. What's happening?
Well, we were talking about your trip to Ireland and how, you saw a celebrity.
I sort of met. I was in the elevator with Mark Hamill.
Yeah. If you had to do it over again,
yes.
Would you? Okay. All right.
Of course. Of course.
After thinking about it for a while, what would you have said, do you think?
I think I would have just gone with, I've really enjoyed your work.
Mm-hmm.
I think just a simple, I really like what you do.
Sure.
That's it.
Okay.
But of course, I didn't think of any of that stuff while I was in the elevator with him.
Instead, you just were creepy, like you didn't want to get off on your floor.
Sort of, yeah. He said, okay. Is this your floor? And I said, yeah, thanks. That's all I said to him.
All right.
So maybe a missed opportunity, or maybe that's probably best case scenario.
It might be.
For him.
It absolutely might be. I read about this meeting of the minds over the weekend, and I thought, I would want to be at that table. It doesn't seem like the most likely of pairings, but enjoying dinner together on Friday night in L.A., Samuel L. Jackson and Judge Judy.
What?
I don't know.
Really?
It doesn't make sense. They just were spending some quality time together. And then, apparently...
That's baloney.
No, it's real.
It doesn't make sense.
No, there's pictures. And then Samuel L. Jackson, the next night, was at a charity dinner on Saturday with Judge Greg Mathis. What? He's just hanging out with, like, celebrity judges.
Not interested, sir.
Are you sure?
That's so weird.
Judge Judy and Samuel L. Jackson.
So you get Zippo, nada.
I kind of dig it. I feel like they're having some animated conversation,
sure.
Right?
I also feel like Samuel Jackson can meet and take pictures with anyone, and they would be thrilled to take a picture with him.
Yeah.
So... maybe he's just making the judge circuit. Is there such a thing?
I believe there is, okay. Kevin. The judge circuit.
What about hot bench? Is that still on?
Is it?
I don't know.
Is that the one that Greg Mathis is on?
I don't have any idea.
I don't either.
I just remember that it was Hot Bench.
We're going to have to look that up. Well, director Steven Spielberg was in England to pick up an award over the weekend, and he used his acceptance speech to inform everyone that he'll be starting Indiana Jones 5 there next spring. He said, quote, "It's always worth the trip when I get to work with the deep bench of talent coming out of the UK, the actors, the crew, the chippies, the sparks, the drivers. I don't know what any of that means. Everybody who has helped me make my movies here and will continue helping me make my movies here when I'm back in April 2019 to make the fifth Indiana Jones movie right here." Five.
Right. Five. And when does that come out?
Well, if they're shooting it in the spring...
Probably 2020?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I'll have more info on that.
Looking forward to that.
Coming up. And you know my feelings about Will and Grace. I love them.
More than you should love them.
So, so very much. Well, NBC has given a third season order to the Will and Grace revival. It's performed very well for the network this season. They've been renewed also... for more episodes this season. So they're in the middle of their second season. So they've upped the order to 18 episodes from 13.
Wow.
And then a third season of 18 episodes coming up as well.
That's amazing. Congrats.
I mean, they're doing pretty darn good over there on NBC. See, sometimes revivals are a good idea.
Sure.
So they've been re-upped for a third season, or it would probably be... If you think about it, an 11th season, right?
Sure, you could look at it that way, right?
I'm going to.
Okay.
That show never went off the air in my heart. All of these stars are born today, March 20th. Actress Ruby Rose, director Spike Lee, and actress Holly Hunter. And that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q. Q. I want to see some naked dude.
Is that really it? Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mark Hoppus joins us on the phone now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
We are good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm drinking coffee and watching traffic right now.
Oh, excellent. How fun is that?
It's good. So far, nobody's honking one another. It all seems pretty friendly out here right now.
Wow. That'll change soon, but hopefully not during this phone call. Tell us about you and the guys in Blink-182 having a residency in Vegas.
Yeah, we got asked by the Palms. They're completely redoing their whole hotel and restaurants and everything there. And they asked us to come out and do a 16-night residency. And we thought it would be super fun. So we said, yeah, and we're putting it all together now.
This is crazy. You're going to do it one weekend in May. You're going to do it one, two, three weekends in June, one in October, and three in November.
Yes, it's 8 weekends total.
It sounds like the perfect gig because sort of everyone comes to you. You don't have to go to them.
Well, we have to go to Vegas.
Sure.
So we kind of go to them.
Okay. You have to sort of go to them, but they come to you from all over the world, I assume.
Yes. We are inviting everybody from all over the world, and we're putting together a very special set list and a lot of production, and we're going to make it as fun as we possibly can.
What kind of set list are you putting together for Vegas?
Well, my idea, and we still have to work this out, was that we would have, like, you know, a standard show with hits and old stuff and new stuff and kind of the breadth of Blink-182. And then, I don't know, every month or whatever, maybe twice or three times during the residency, we do old school nights where it's no songs from after 1999.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Are you going to do... Are you going to do
just
any
the deep album cuts from deep, early days?
Like the deepest.
Yeah. Are you going to announce that ahead of time?
For which weekends it is?
It would be something that people would know about ahead of time, so they would know, like, maybe if you are traveling from Belgium and you've only heard All the Small Things in, like, an American Pie movie from back in the day.
Maybe that's not the weekend you go to. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Who's going to be the worst at staying in Vegas for 3 days of you guys? Who gambles? Who drinks? Who's going to be a problem child? Who's going to show up late?
I think Matt likes to gamble, but I don't think Travis gambles, and I don't really gamble, and none of us really drink. But we are there to have a great time. So it'll be fun in Vegas. We'll make Vegas fun. Even if you don't drink, even if you don't gamble, come and see Blink-182, and we will start your weekend off correctly.
Do you think maybe you could start some beef with some other people that have residencies there? Kind of get the word out that there's serious beef on the strip between you
and... With Celine Dion?
With Celine, she's one. I mean, she goes hard, Mark.
There's real beef there. There's no fake beef.
Okay, all right.
She knows what she did.
Does she? Wow. And you've tried to resolve it, I assume, and it hasn't worked.
Oh, we've tried everything. We've tried, you know, we've had mutual friends, people that have worked for both us and for her. Try and be mediators on this whole thing. But I don't know. I think the blood is bad enough that it's going to take a real... It's going to come to a head pretty soon. It's not going to be pretty for anyone involved.
I got
to
be honest. I'm putting my money on Celine.
Yeah.
I know. You know what? Sadly, me too.
How was Muse Inc. this past weekend?
It was great. It was a lot of fun. It was, I don't know. It felt like a big club show. You know, we had some production, but it wasn't a huge production show. It felt like a gritty punk rock show, but in a big venue.
So speaking of production, you said you're going to really sort of do it up big in Vegas. Are you doing something unique to the Vegas shows?
Yes, we are going to. Well, I think that the standard for production in shows in Las Vegas has just been ramped up and up and up. I mean, you have everything from, like, you know, Cirque du Soleil to big Broadway shows to everything else. So we really have to, I don't know, maybe incorporate some magic. What do we?
Oh, yes. Just off to the side for the whole show.
Yeah, no, for like half an hour of straight up, you know, pop punk, Blink-182, and then 45 minutes of close magic.
Oh, like close up magic
people
works.
People gathered around me at a table.
Yes.
And I'm doing sleight of hand.
45 minutes of pick a card, any card. That would be the best.
Oh, I think that's an untapped thing. Close up magic in between of Blink-182 songs.
Yeah, it's going to be good. We're going to do some really special stuff. You'll walk away wondering, I wonder why I did that.
That's what you want after a show.
By the way, that's what you always get from Blink-182, which is why you're so much fun. Tickets go on sale.
Totally.
Tickets go on sale this Friday, March 23rd at 10 a.m. at Blink182Vegas.com. And tickets start at only $59.
Seriously.
Yeah.
$59.
This is crazy. All right.
I can't wait.
any chance you're going to have live animals up there on stage?
Oh, great question.
A lot of people go there for the animals.
I doubt that.
Okay.
Maybe. I mean, animals naturally are defensive against us.
Of course.
Like if a dog sees me on the street, it growls. It's like the animals have that innate sense.
Interesting.
So maybe something that can't necessarily maul us, like a trained parrot or some kind of big cockatiel or something like that on stage.
He said cockatiel,
he
Kevin.
Did. Okay, good.
Okay.
Yes, I did. There's no reason to believe that. There's no reason to thank the lady for that one.
I was very worried just for a second. Well, this is fantastic news. Again, Blink-182, May 26, 27, June 8, 9, 15, 16, 23, 24, October 26, 27, November 2, 3, 9, 10, 16, 17. So that sounds like a...
I hope they wrote all that down.
I mean, everybody writes down everything we say, Mark, so I'm sure that happened. Happy to talk to you, Mark. Excited about these shows. I feel like we might have to do some kind of a K-Rock trip out there. I feel like
that
needs to happen for one of your
shows. Would you guys be willing to, like, go in a bus with us, a party bus?
Well, like an avatar of me, like someone in my stead, like if I sign over power of attorney to somebody else.
No,
he's already out. He's already out. He doesn't want to hang with us in a bus.
We're thinking you, Mark.
Okay, well, we'll see about that.
You can work on the up-close magic on the bus.
Oh, totally.
I'm here
for
you.
The whole way out to Vegas, I'm just doing up-close magic to people that have no interest whatsoever.
Right, but you'd rather work out the kinks on the bus, not in front of the crowd in Vegas. So we're offering you an opportunity here, Mark.
Right, just failing horribly at every trick, and people feel too uncomfortable to call me on it.
Right.
Like, you totally see the card on the back of my hand.
Right.
Like, oh, wow, how'd you do that? I'm like, right?
Plus, anytime you can learn in front of a captive audience, I say go for it.
Okay, I'm down. I will take one K-Rock bus out to Las Vegas.
All right, we're going to hold you to that.
Magic.
We're going to hold you to that. All right. Blink-182's Kings of the Weekend Rock Residency, again, kicks off Memorial Day weekend, by the way, at the newly renovated Pearl Concert Theater at the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas. Thank you for your time, Mark. We appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Nice talking with you guys. Have a good morning.
Bye now.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock. Radio.com.
A April Fool's is sold out. It is Gabriel Iglesias, Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana, and Mike Rome on music and video. And we're looking for an opening act. Somebody gets to open this show for all of those comedians.
Yeah, not bad. To say that you open for Gabriel Iglesias at the Microsoft Theater, that's bragging rights
right
there.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So we had people start sending in videos. Dave, how does this work exactly with the opening act?
You go to krock.com, and if you sign up and you put your YouTube link.
Okay.
And, you know, guys, we want it at least 5 minutes,
uh-huh.
not 51 minutes,
oh.
like people have said.
Okay.
And not videos of, like, behind your head. Or just audio recordings. We want to see you perform.
That is important. And also, yes. we want to be able to understand what's being said as well.
Yeah.
And that can be right. difficult. Unless there's no one in the room, like Matthew Utley is the first person that we have. He's from the Pechanga Talent Show.
Mm.
And this is the chunk he sent in.
This room is not as empty as I thought it would be. My favorite game growing up was Legend of Zelda. Thank you. I found this cool little secret I'd like to share with you. In the original Legend of Zelda, before you go into the first dungeon, you turn the volume on your TV all the way up. That way, you can't hear your parents fighting.
Oh.
That's a little bit of a bummer.
Jeez.
This is Aviv Wilk. By the way, we're going to narrow these down to a top 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to allow you, the listener, to vote on who you want to be the opening act. This is Aviv Wilk, and he's in a classroom telling jokes. It looks like it's an improv course of some kind.
I really like the fact that we're in a classroom doing a performance piece. I really like to be a teacher. I do it in one of two ways. One, I teach it like Bane from The Dark Knight.
Good morning, class. First lesson today, everything you know is a lie.
All right, so that is...
Was that Belky or Bane?
It's supposed to be Bane.
Yeah.
The next contestant that sent in one is Brenton Biddlecomb, and this is from his setup at the Comedy Store.
We went to get a drink one time. She kept going to the bathroom, so she put a napkin over a drink. And I was like, what are you doing? I'm sitting right here. And she goes, no, I don't want anyone to roofie me while I'm gone. And I was like, you know that's not what that means, right? Like, I used to work in a restaurant. If you put a napkin over your drink, that just tells the server, hey, I'm coming back. Please don't take my beverage. In her mind... She actually thought, if someone's willing to buy roofies, go to a bar, scatter the victim, poison them, take their body to have their way, dump the body and not get caught, he's going to see that napkin and go, oh, this is probably a bad idea.
Not bad, right?
No.
This is Daryl Wright. This is from a Showtime special that he was on.
Yeah, I'm in court, judge mad as hell. He's like, Mr. Wright, why did you bite that officer? I'm like, Your Honor, I didn't bite nobody. But my friend bit a dog. He's like, that's not a dog, that's an officer. I'm like, excuse me, Your Honor. I'm drunk right now. But that's still a dog.
It's a police dog.
How was I supposed to know a dog in San Bernardino is a cop? He didn't have a cape, a badge, a siren, nothing. He just jumped out of that parking. Finally, the judge got mad as hell. That dog is an officer. And he should be treated with the respect of any other officer of the law. I'm like, Your Honor, you're absolutely right. But if that's the case, this is going to be a short trial because that dog didn't read me my rights.
Not bad, right?
Huh.
Up next is Ryan DeLeon from the Ha Ha Cafe talking about...
Oh, the Ha Ha.
Talking about why Latinos have so many children.
People wonder why Latinos have so many kids. And it's not so much lack of sex education or Catholic beliefs, but it's more the need of having to put a different credit card in each kid's name. Like, my dad, he'd call us in for dinner, and he'd call us, like, if we buy our name, he'd be like, Chase, Amex, Paisa. That was Visa.
That's a lot of kids.
And next is Jen Murphy.
Like, I've only used a dildo one time in my life, and I put a condom on it. Because I was just like, I don't know where this thing's been. Right? It was all, like, pink and rubbery. I was like, somebody had to package it. I don't know. I probably shouldn't have bought it on Craigslist.
Oh.
I'm kidding. It was a gift. That's what happens when you're still single in your 30s. Your friends are like, clearly, this is what you need.
All right, so those are some of the people that we have sent in.
Yeah, and you have until Friday morning to send them in.
So feel free to go to kevinandbean.com and send those in. Make sure and send in a link for the YouTube. Make sure we can see your face. Make sure we can hear your words.
Yes.
That's all we're asking. And then we'll pick a top 10 and we'll let our listeners vote.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Time for What's Happening with Allie.
I've been talking a lot about the lottery because it's been an insane amount of money for the Powerball, for the Mega Millions. Well, don't worry about the Powerball, because a single ticket was sold in Pennsylvania, matching the drawing for an estimated $456 million. However, there were two other tickets, one in California and one in Missouri, with numbers matching up for a $1 million payout. The one in California, Santa Monica. So if you bought your ticket in Santa Monica, you might have $1 million right now.
Don't you guess that there are a lot of people who buy the ticket
And then space it.
Well, they think, what are the odds? The odds are astronomical against me, so then yeah. I don't even follow until you hear, oh, wait, Santa Monica, I bought one there.
Exactly.
And then they check the numbers to see if they won.
Yeah.
This is
Oh, I hope he won. No winner in Friday night's drawing for the Mega Millions, however. So tonight's drawing, valued at $377 million, that's $225 million cash value. Kevin said, don't even bother buying tickets.
I already bought the winner.
Okay.
So what's the point?
What is the
Unless point? You want me to have more money, then go ahead.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you feel like being generous.
Very kind of you.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you guys missed it, we had Mark Hoppus on, and he was telling us all about the Las Vegas residency that's happening with his band Blink-182. They are headed to the Palms Casino in Las Vegas for a 16-date residency. Performances begin in May and run on select dates through November.
And by the way, they're all on weekends.
So much fun.
I mean, come on.
No good will come out of this.
No,
except
agreed.
For all the good
right.
that you get to now plan ahead and go see Blink-182 on a weekend in Vegas.
Yeah.
They're trying to kill us.
I
right?
may have to go to all of them. Right?
Wow.
I feel like I need to.
I feel like you will die.
To support them.
To support them.
Right.
Sure. But 16 dates, do we need that, Kevin, with you?
I mean, sure, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to hang out with Kevin, just buy tickets for any day.
Vegas is like an ATM for me.
Oh, God. You're nuts. Oh, some bad news for Dodger fans. Yesterday, not a good situation. All-star Justin Turner suffered a broken left wrist after he was hit by a pitch in the bottom of the first inning against the Oakland A's on Monday. See if you can hear the exact moment of impact.
Also, another category that might surprise a few people. And he gets hit. And hopefully that is not on his hand.
Did he say,
I-E?
But he is in a lot of discomfort, and that is a scary thought for a hitter. Anytime you get hit, but in particular on the hands or somewhere around the wrist area, and Turner is in a great deal of... He's in pain right now.
Yes, he is, Rick, and that is not what Dave Roberts or any Dodger wants to see right now, is your number three hitter getting hit.
Yeah, he immediately went to the ground, was writhing in pain, and the trainer came out. Not a good situation.
That sucks so much, but I'm happy we didn't have to find out.
Also, another category that might surprise a few people.
I'm not glad we didn't have to find out what that was.
Normal recovery time can be anywhere from 6 to 10 weeks, and Dodgers manager Dave Roberts said he expects Logan Forsythe to move over to third base.
How long till the season starts?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
A few times. A few weeks? Months? I don't know.
Yeah, Dave, Christine, you're the baseball people.
Don't know.
When does baseball start?
March 30th.
March 30th. Thank you, Muggs. Thank you. With his chest puffed out like he just told us breaking news that would save our lives.
That's not great, as that's only 9 days from now, so he's going to miss, you know, a portion of the early season.
Yeah, but like you mentioned earlier,
it's a 2.5 year season.
So he'll be there at some point, right?
He'll be there for most of it.
Yeah. You know that new Disney digital streaming service that's coming out? They have announced yet another thing that's going to be hitting just that streaming service. A combination live-action and CGI animated reboot of the Disney classic Lady and the Tramp. You've also got a Sword in the Stone remake, the female Santa Claus movie starring Anna Kendrick called Noelle, which I'm the only person in the world super pumped for that.
Yes, you are.
But it looks adorable. A Monsters, Inc. TV series and a brand new live-action Star Wars TV series created by Jon Favreau. So they are going all in on this new Disney streaming service set to launch in 2019. So a lot of people say, seriously, we have too many streaming services.
There really are a lot.
But if it's just things that will come out on that alone, and you're a Disney fan?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, Star Wars just by itself. People are going to be like, ah, Jon Favreau, I am in for that. Sorry, Kevin, that you found out yesterday that Fifth Harmony was taking a break. The ladies announced yesterday they're going to be working on solo efforts outside of the group to, quote, stay authentic to ourselves and to you. It's an indefinite hiatus, but the statement goes on to say that Ali, Normani, Dina, and Lauren will be back as Fifth Harmony eventually.
Oh, that's great news. Whew. I was so worried.
By the way, Muggs was incorrect. The Dodgers will open the 2018 season on Thursday, March 29th against the Giants at Dodger Stadium. He was so close, though.
Yeah, but so proud as well.
So proud. I mean... The chest was so puffed out.
Not close enough when you puff out your chest.
How many days off were you?
One.
Okay. All right.
It's not bad.
Yeah. He's fist pumping
Get
now.
Back out.
I mean, this is concerning. Absolutely concerning.
He's taking that as a win.
He certainly is. American Idol, down quite a bit in the ratings. We were wondering, since they started pretty heavy with some great ratings, mm-hmm. and I was wondering, well, is that going to sustain, or is it just people that want to see the first one since it's moved from Fox over to ABC? Well, it's down 26% from the debut, and also down around 21% in the 18 to 49 age group, because apparently everyone on Sunday nights is watching CBS's 60 Minutes, which had 10 million viewers, which I just find absolutely interesting.
I think that's in the top 10 pretty
every
much
week.
Every week. Yeah.
Absolutely. But Sunday nights, we've got to have shows come back. We've got Silicon Valley.
Agreed.
We've got Ballers.
Agreed.
Something else, I'm sure, as well. I mean, look into it, kids. Other shows are coming back on Sunday.
What night is Homeland on?
Sure.
Okay.
I thought it was back, no?
Sunday. It's back.
It is back.
It is back.
In the middle of the season.
In the middle of the season.
I was going to say, I swear it's been back for like 5-6 episodes.
Well, I got some catching up to do.
Wow, sure do. You know, Walking Dead is back, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. On Sunday night, yes.
Yeah. All right. Moving along. Birthdays for you. Actresses Holly Hunter, Ruby Rose, and director Spike Lee, and a late-breaking birthday. I can't believe
it be a late breaking.
That's what
birthday.
I'm saying. We didn't know about it, and I feel horrible because not only is he a good friend of the show, he's the damn UFC champion, Daniel Cormier. Happy birthday, DC.
Way to go, Dave.
Not my fault.
And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. Tomorrow morning at all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We've got Sarah Tiana, the comedian on Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. We've got your tickets for that event as well, and more of the opening act contestants as well tomorrow morning.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.